Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Gamer Heroes podcast, hosted by your friends at GGKC. We got me, Thomas, and we got our friend Mike here.
Hello.
Today, it's just the two of us, so we're gonna kind of do whatever we want. That's how I feel.
Get a little intimate.
Yeah. we're talking about what we wanted to do today, and I think both of us, actually the whole team here, we've been pretty tight for time. So I've played a bunch of Overwatch stuff this week, but that hardly counts. But other than that, I don't feel like I've hardly gamed at all this past week.
Yeah, I've been playing. I hesitate to say it because I know that there's a lot of people that don't like it, but Guild Wars 2. I feel like it's my version of World of Warcraft for Josh. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Not Warhammer?
Yeah, okay, because Warhammer is a good game, though. No, the thing with Guild Wars 2, it's, I don't know why I keep going back to it, because it's really, I mean, the game has a lot of depth, but at the same time, I feel like I'm not generally the kind of player that will go out of my way to monopolize on all that stuff, so like... If I'm playing a game like that with a group of friends, then I'm more likely to join guilds or join the guilds that they're joining or whatever.
Right.
But if I'm playing an MMO by myself, I treat it like it's a single player game. Like, I just run around and I collect things. Why am I collecting them? I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
It's that feeling of progression, I guess.
Yeah.
But the thing I like about Guild Wars 2 is just the characters, I guess. I don't really like all of the animations, but I do like in that game they have Char, which are basically like cat minotaurs, and I love minotaurs, so I immediately gravitate towards that. The only problem is, and this is something that I feel like is a problem in a lot of the games that I play that kind of have this this game mechanic, where your character has a voice. I think maybe we've even talked a little bit about this on the podcast before. But in Guild Wars, when I'm building out my character, let's say I want this Char ranger who I'm going to turn into a druid later. And in my head, when I'm making that character, I'm thinking like, okay, this Char was living in the forest by themselves, and like they're just leaders of nature and want to control nature and help nature. But then, like, you get into the story, it's like, it doesn't matter what you wanted your character to do. Your character is in the Legion and like is a total asshole and just wants to fight and kill everything. Yeah. No matter what, like, that's just the Char mentality, and that's the mentality that they give your character when you play it. And I don't like that. I want to, if I'm playing an MMO, I want it to be kind of like, I don't know, Dungeons & Dragons Lite. Like, I want to be able to make my character that I create my own fake backstory for, and that's, I determine my own, ambitions, I guess?
Okay. Yeah, and when I played World of Warcraft, I kind of liked, you know, I was on the Horde, but it's a pretty nice guy. You know, I liked helping people out. And to some degree, yeah, I can relate to playing an MMO as a single player game when you're the only person you know, because I definitely did that a lot. And I actually experienced the opposite of that when I played Elder Scrolls Online, first of all, I played it on PS4, which I realized pretty quickly in that I needed a keyboard and a mouse for that. Like, if you can't type to other people, if you can't communicate with them easily and quickly, then what's the point of having a social environment like that? And my girlfriend likes that game, and she'll go back to it, and she was pretty bummed out that I didn't want to stick with it, but boy, I did not want to stick with it. It just, it did not have what I was looking for. And I didn't realize until after we got it. And I wasn't worried about spending the money on it. I just wish that, you know, I would have liked it more. Mm-hmm. Because that would have been a great game for us to play together, because those games are way more fun with people. But with Elder Scrolls, I wanted it. I either wanted it to be more social, keyboard and mouse. Honestly, the core of the game wasn't anything I disliked. I just needed more communication. Or needed to go the other way, where the single player stuff felt better. I mean, even when I was playing World of Warcraft, I felt, even when I'm just running around killing six boars, you know, or blowing up six barrels or something, I still felt that was more of something I was doing, and it wasn't just happening around me. I don't know. I've had trouble putting my finger on what the big difference is. It could just be that I'm not into that stuff anymore. But with Elder Scrolls, it just felt like it was a little bare. And I don't even know if that's the right word, but I just didn't feel like I was reaching out and touching everything. I didn't feel like I was my own me. Mm-hmm. And I definitely think they made efforts toward that, because you can make decisions that some of them matter, some of them don't. But it's like, hey, do you want to help the soldiers at the bay, you know, in this battle? Or do you want to help the civilians in this keep that's getting attacked? And I like that, because you got to see changes as a result of that. So I liked that they kind of gave you a voice like that, which definitely World of Warcraft never had to my memory. But those single player quests just didn't feel as personal as I wanted them to.
You know, that it's funny that you bring that up, because that's something that I think about a lot when you were talking about, like, maybe it's just something that I don't like anymore. There are plenty of nights where, like, I'm looking for something to play, and I kind of get that feeling like I want to have the same feeling that I had when I used to play vanilla WoW with, like, some buddies of mine in the basement or something. Mm-hmm. And I'll go online, try to find top-rated MMOs or whatever, and every single time I start it up, just immediately fizzles out. Like, yeah. I won't even play it again after the first day.
Right.
And that thought goes through my head. It's like, am I trying to find the same feeling that just literally doesn't exist anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe I just will never like these games again. Like, maybe it was, I used it up for World of Warcraft and that's over. Which is funny, because I'm talking about Guild Wars 2 and how I keep going back to Guild Wars 2. But it's different. Like, it's a different kind of game for me. Because in WoW, I did have friends that I played with, so it was a little bit more social. But I don't know. It's strange. It's like, everybody tries to outdo World of Warcraft, and maybe the reason that people can't outdo it is just because
we're already spent.
It's over. Like, the world of MMO as we know it, at least in how World of Warcraft is put together, that's just no longer a thing. World of Warcraft has already done it. So the only way to recreate World of Warcraft is to literally recreate World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see how that stuff goes, because I feel the same way when I've gone back to new MMOs or tried anything else like that. It just does not hit me where it used to hit me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I swear this is related. So I've been playing No Man's Sky a little bit, and that, you know, the world is persistent, so whether or not you load into your friend's game, you still have your stuff, you still have your equipment that you've gotten. So technically it's a multiplayer game now, after the update a few months ago. But mostly it's definitely a single player game. Like, even when you're with your friends, it definitely just feels single player, but with your friends there, which honestly is fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool, because really I go to that not so you can share anything, because that's not the point. Like, the game's not made for you to go do the same thing and share loot or anything like that. But just to be able to see each other and fly to each other is cool.
Yeah, just to, like, experience the things that they're also experiencing.
Yeah, you find some new planet and you're like, wow, check out this cave over here. Like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of caves like this, but not quite like this. Like, this one's unique. And so that's kind of fun. So you're not, you know, running on quests together, but to be able to explore that persistent world together is a nice thing. You know, it feels like a single player game, but you can share it. I feel the same way with Minecraft for the most part, which I've also been playing it. So on No Man's Sky, I was playing and I found this planet that's like extra dangerous, and it's extra dangerous because it's got extra loot. So I went on it. I picked up just a huge, crazy amount of loot. Well, the thing about this planet, I couldn't find any. There are no outposts or anything to go sell this stuff I got. So I had to go off the planet to go sell it. Well, I go to the closest planet. So this doesn't make any sense. The planet I was on that's, you know, super rich. It's exotic and extreme, I think is what it said when I survived one day. It was like, you survived one day on an extreme planet. And I was like, I mean, it's crazy here, but it's not that extreme. And I flew off this tiny little moon to the planet that it was, you know, circling around. And I land on that planet. That planet is absolutely gigantic. And it's totally barren. Like, there's nothing on it. Like, I thought I wasn't flying close enough to the ground for anything to load. No, there's just nothing there. There's nothing on the whole planet. Well, but I land there. And so the important part of the story is I land and I start using my jetpack. And I'm like, whoa, there's low gravity here. Which definitely makes no sense because this planet's humongous. But I was messing around with that. And I killed myself. I killed myself because I flew too high and I just hit the ground too hard. I figured that if there was low gravity, you also fell faster because that's how gravity works. But you just go up more quickly. So your jetpack just goes like twice as high, but you still fall at the same rate. So I just fell and died and like definitely felt like that shouldn't have happened. And so I lost all my stuff, my, you know, ridiculous amount of stuff I'd been collecting for a while. And so it teleports me. Well, it teleports me back to my ship, but I have enough fuel to get back to that rich planet where I just set up a base and all stuff. So I fly back to that planet all, you know, hanging my head low because I'm bummed because I feel like I got cheated. I feel like, you know, the game made it look like it was offering one thing, but it just wasn't quite. Mm-hmm. Like whoever designed how gravity was going to work didn't think about how far you'd have to fall to take damage because why? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it was like a game gotcha.
Yeah. So that stunk. That was not a fun way to figure that out. But I went back to this planet, and part of the reason it's an extreme planet is it very regularly has these storms that are very dangerous. They will just kill you so fast. So you have to hide somewhere. Well, there's barely anywhere to hide. So I used my little gun, my terrain manipulator, to dig a hole into the ground, right? I'll just dig my own cave because I can't find one. So I am getting chased by these robots because I stole stuff, right? And I'm like, oh, there's a storm coming. Quick, I'll just dig, you know, go underground. So I burrow a hole, and I go back into the bottom of it, and I'm sitting there for like 10 or 15 seconds. And then the ground gets, like, the screen gets all crazy. And the next thing I know, I've been teleported up onto the surface of the planet, and there's a storm still going on. So I'm just like, oh! So I go back, and I try to dig a new hole, and I go to the bottom of that, and it teleports me back to the earth, the ground again. And so then I died. So I lost everything again. So I was just like, dude, like I want this game to kill me in a way that doesn't make me feel cheated.
Yeah, that feels like it was your fault.
Yeah. Like, let it be like, oh, I wasn't paying attention and I ran out of oxygen or something. But, you know, every time I've died, it's been something like that where I'm just like, man, this is just rough in all the spots where I need it to be thought out. Like, it's the opposite of Grand Theft Auto. They mm-hmm. didn't think of any of the small things. They only thought of the big things. But in a world like that, you know, the small things matter.
So yeah.
That's been killing me.
So do you think you're going to do it? You're going to keep playing it?
I don't think so. I just do not like the way that they set up a progression in that game. I've barely progressed to do anything, but the way that it's put in front of you, so I don't know. I don't know what the end game is. I think you're supposed to go to the center of the galaxy or something.
Like, what is the progression?
But the point? You like, I just finally build a base, and I think eventually here I'm gonna find a way to like get a freighter, which my friend has. I think my girlfriend might have it too. And then after that, you get little quests to unlock like new technology and stuff. But nothing is ever clear that's like the objective. It like I never built a base because I didn't feel like it. I didn't realize the game was like, yo, you have to build a base if you want to do anything else. Well, it didn't tell me that. So I just never did it, and I couldn't figure out where I was supposed to go to unlock something. Because your base doesn't have anything in it. I just put up like a wooden box. I mean, it's straight up made of wood. And I'm in space, and there's like a radiation storm going on outside. But
you're fine.
I'm fine. I just wish that stuff was more clear.
Yeah.
It's been out for a couple of years now, and it still feels like it was rushed. You know, quality of life stuff is a lot better, but I'm just not very happy with the ways that I've died on there. I could play a normal mode where I don't lose anything for dying, but that's like way, way, way easier in a way that I don't enjoy as much.
Yeah, and even then, like, even more so, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like, if I could just die wherever.
Well, because there's a ton of stuff in that normal mode where it's like, hey, if you do this, you'll get 30% extra oxygen in your tanks, so you can run even longer. But I'm like, well, I can still run, like, forever. Why would I even need this upgrade? Because, like, nothing is ever a danger. And then when you go to survival, as soon as you start the game up, it's like, oh. So you start with, like, half of what you normally have in normal. So every upgrade you get actually matters. But I don't know. I don't think I need to go back to it. It just – the hook is not good enough. Like, I picked up Minecraft. I finally bought it for PS4 a couple weeks ago maybe. Played a bunch on 360. Well, I picked it back up again. Lizzie and I have been playing kind of sort of together. Not really. We'll play like when the other one is around, but we're hardly ever in the game together. But that's kind of nice too. It's just watching each other do stuff. I always love cave diving. She does everything, you know, plants and building a house and all this stuff. So I like that. But, you know, Minecraft just has those hooks and I just don't feel cheated all the time.
Yeah.
And hey, when I die in that game, I can run back to where I died. So
I'm glad you roped it back to Minecraft, because that's exactly what I was thinking the whole time you were talking about No Man's Sky, because we're talking about a game that doesn't really have a clearly defined point. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad game, because we have things like Minecraft. Minecraft is incredibly fun, and there is no point. It's just kind of fun to run around and pick stuff up.
Minecraft doesn't have any quests, which, like, if it did, that'd be cool too.
Mm-hmm.
But No Man's Sky just always makes me feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't read something that I was supposed to read. Or, you know, there was a quest marker. I mean, the very first time you get to your ship, you in No Man's Sky, you take off, and you're supposed to go into this menu that you've used a ton of times on the ground. Well, when you use it on your ship, there's a different thing that allows you to listen to your transmission. I didn't know that. I just assumed it was going to be the exact same menu the whole time. So I thought the game was bugged. I mean, I played for almost a week that first time, not realizing that I was just supposed to go into that menu in my ship. It didn't tell me to do that. So it just made me feel stupid. And in retrospect, it was like, okay, well, I guess I should have tried that. But it did not make that, you know, it didn't feel intuitive. But at least Minecraft, it doesn't trick you with anything. It just says, hey, go play. And then as you, you know, explore and mess around with stuff, you'll just discover, oh, maybe I can do this, you know.
So how do you like playing it on console?
I've actually only played Minecraft on console. Huh. And I think it's great. It's once upon a time, the console version used to be way behind the PC version, where I couldn't even use the wikis because the wikis all talked about, you know, I remember when giant mushrooms didn't even exist in the console version, but I didn't realize it. I thought I just needed to go find one. And then I was like, this stuff isn't working, but these days, I mean, there's so much new stuff I've never seen before. I stayed up too many nights in a row. And these phantoms, these things started flying around the night sky, and they look like stingrays. And they didn't kill me.
Just from, like, lack of sleep?
Yeah, it said phantoms. Ooh, they haunt tired players' nightmares or something like that. So I killed a bunch of them, and they never stopped spawning, so I finally went to bed. But
I didn't know those existed.
Yeah.
I haven't played since then.
Well, lots of cool stuff. So it's fun to go back to a game like that that's been around for a long time and still find new things.
Oh, yeah.
Most of it's new to me just because it's been so long, but... it's cool. And then there's some quality of life changes in there that I enjoy too. So
I remember when, I don't remember if it was Games with Gold or if it was just on sale or something, but I decided to pick up Minecraft for my Xbox One at some point. And I'd only ever played it on PC up to that point. And I love the game, love it on PC. When I played it on Xbox One, this is back to, like, what you're talking about, where there were, like, none of the updates were in place. It just felt... I never went back to it after playing it for a little while, or, like, just a couple days or something on Xbox, just because it was like, okay, this is, like, a quarter of the game.
Right.
But man, maybe I need to try it again. I do remember not really liking the analog sticks when I was using it, but that probably is just because I was so used to using mouse and keyboard. So,
yeah, I could see that. And I mean, sometimes navigation can sort of be a pain. Well, like menu navigation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find it to be that troublesome, given that I've never used it. I've never used a mouse on it. And I bet a mouse would be significantly better, but I enjoy it.
Can you mod Minecraft on console?
I'm just going to say no.
Yeah, I assume so. No. But I remember that was something I really liked about the PC version, just trying out all the different mods and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We used to play... some buddies of mine and I, we would hop onto... trying to remember what they were called. They were called... I want to say they were guild servers or something like that. And you would basically go to this multiplayer server... And you would either create your own faction or join another faction that was already created on the server. And there were some really awesome rules. They were all pretty buggy, but they had some really cool rules where, like, you could claim territory. And if somebody else from another faction came into your territory, they weren't allowed to destroy your stuff.
Hmm.
Which, at first, you're like, well... How are we supposed to fight? Because it's kind of like supposed to be a PvP thing. So, mm-hmm. like, the more you expand and the more stuff you get, the more people in your guild, the more people you kill and stuff, the more your little patch of land expands and you can have more territory. Well, at first we were like, what do we do? Like, how do we... It was like maybe three or four of us. We weren't... None of our guild wasn't bigger than anybody else's, trying to figure out what to do. So then we're like, oh... We just make lava waterfalls. So we would just, like, figure out the closest square we could get to their territory.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just build these gigantic, like, dirt mounds and then just go at the very top and just drop some lava. And then just let the lava just creep in. And we actually, a buddy of ours got banned from this server because we were... on this server, they also had an economy mod, so you could, like, they had little shops randomly in areas, and you could go up there and you could sell your loot to them for, like, what was essentially the gold or the currency of that server. Well, what we found out right away that apparently nobody had caught on that server was that they would give you one currency for sand. So... If you think about it, you can go out there with a shovel and get a shit ton of sand. So we would go to the server and, like, there'd be people hanging out by the store, and we'd all just be, like, hacking at sand with our shovels right next to the store. We'd be like, what are you doing? And
nothing,
then we'd go up there, trade it in for diamond armor. And then just kill everyone on the server. And one of our buddies got banned because they thought we were hacking. And it's like, no, just look at the economy rules. Sell sand. That was one of my most fun multiplayer experiences is in Minecraft. That is just a gem of a game. So
that
simple, but so, like, so engaging.
Well, let's see. Do you want to go talk about some news now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Got a bunch of little things here. So, first off, PlayStation name changes. We talked about it last week. It was rumored. Well, now it's confirmed. So that's exciting. I will be happy to change my name. Because of that, it's been making me look a little harder at people's tags when I've been playing Overwatch, just to see. You know, some of them you can tell are Smurfs. So when someone has a name like Mercy Main, it's like, okay, well, obviously you made this account after Overwatch was out, obviously.
What is the stipulation behind this again?
Behind the name change?
Yeah.
So they're finally going to do what Microsoft has allowed for a long time. In the past, it hasn't worked because of hardware and software issues. Now you can finally do one name change for free on any account.
That's right.
And like $10, I think. It's $8, I think, on Xbox, but it's $10 on PlayStation. Yeah, it just allows people to change their dumbass names to slightly less dumbass names, which will be nice. And so, I mean, now it allows me to, you know, make my names uniform across my platforms. I don't have to stick with this stupid one that I get questioned on all the time. So that's nice. It's nice to hear that that's confirmed. It's about time. They said the details are, I think, I want to say after March of this next year. Is it March or April? Any game that comes out will natively have it. Well, I think it's they'll natively have it. And I think with older games that have come out already, that come out before that date, developers have to make their own decision on if they want to allow compatibility. I'll double check that here before the end of the podcast. I do remember they said after that date, everything will work. But other than that, it's up to a developer if they want to do it. If they don't want to do it, well, sorry. Hmm. And to a certain degree, I get it. The issue, what that means is some games you might get errors and all this stuff because their systems are just not set up for a name change. That's why there hasn't already been a name change. It's because it's a daunting task across all these platforms, the Vita, the PS3, the PS4. So we'll see. It basically said if you run into an error, you can roll back your account. But it just kind of made it sound like with old games, if you have a problem, you just might be out of luck. Like,
yeah.
You'll have to stick with the tag that you've got right now. So it'll be especially good for newer players, but for like old ones who are trying to go back to old titles, if you're trying to access an old save file with a new name, you're probably going to run into some trouble. And they've basically just said your only option is to switch it back. So
I didn't realize the name was so important to the save file. I just assumed that it was like a switch you could flip.
No, and I don't know the details of why that's such an issue, but I'm pretty sure that's above my pay grade. Sony has said on multiple occasions that the biggest obstacle is that it's just not practical. But people have been asking for it for long enough that they're finally going to do it. So that helps me because I'm not trying to go back to that many old save files. I haven't owned a Sony system before the PS4, so honestly, I think I'm going to be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see. I hope I don't, go back to my darkest dungeon save and find it, deleted or, something crazy like that.
That truly would be the darkest dungeon.
That would be. That'd be the only way I'd finally reach that darkest dungeon.
Well, now everyone's dead, I guess. So, speaking of PlayStation, if you haven't heard by now, I guess there was a message going around on the PlayStation Network that would just crash your PlayStation.
It would brick your system.
Yeah,
I think is what I read.
Well, I guess in this article they're talking about how you could do a factory reset and you would still be able to use it. You just lose
that
everything.
That sucks.
Yeah. So it's like, I guess at least it's not like totally destroying your PlayStation, but losing all the saved games and stuff, you may as well.
Man, that hurts.
Yep. But, so apparently PlayStation's taken care of the issue already. I don't know. It doesn't say in this article if they've actually released the patch or if they just fixed it and will release a patch at some point. But for anybody out there...
Well, I bet that ruled out.
I would assume so.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see a system update in the past couple days, but that doesn't mean it wasn't there. I mean, actually, they probably did system update it because mine updates when it's in rest mode. Because I'd be shocked if they didn't want to fix that as soon as possible.
Something this article mentioned that I thought was a pretty good idea, I didn't really think about, was... So obviously there's a couple options that you can do to try to avoid this kind of stuff moving forward. Only accepting messages from your friends or not accepting messages at all. But, I mean, not everybody's going to want to do that. So the idea that they had that they mentioned in this article was if you have the PlayStation app on your phone, you can just check your messages there and then you don't have to worry about your PlayStation crashing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just delete the suspicious messages there without impacting the system. I was like, I did not think about using the phone app.
Dude, the phone app. Still got some jank on it, though.
Really? I've never used it.
It's nice because I don't have to be in front of my PlayStation to know that I've gotten an invite. I can be like, hey, I'm not even at home right now. I can't play with you. Or, let's say if I go to the bathroom between matches or something and somebody's like, hey, I asked in chat if you were ready. You didn't say anything, so I'm messaging you. I'll be like, oh, yeah, be right there. Or something like that. It has its uses. And just being on the phone, you can type way more quickly. Than you can with the PlayStation controller. I mean, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
But it still has plenty of issues. I mean, they've updated it so it's gotten better and better, but it's still just not quite as smooth. It's not as easy to find stuff as I want. And I know with the PlayStation app, like not just the messaging app, but the actual app where you can access like your the library, like your library or the store and stuff. It's not as easy to navigate as I want it to be. And one thing I want to be able to do, I cannot figure out how to get things to download or update or, you know, any of that when I'm not home. Because I'm like, oh, hey, I know there's going to be an Overwatch update that's going to take 30 minutes. I'd rather start it now in the middle of the day before I get home. And I just can't do that. Or if I buy a game, I think it was No Man's Sky when I got it. Was that a... No, I don't think that was the one, but it doesn't matter. I was trying to do that with another game, and I just could not figure it out. I thought it was going to be front and center here in this app, for sure, but it was not. So I don't really see the usefulness of the app that much. The messaging is great.
Is it kind of like the Xbox app where it can also be like a controller?
A smart glass? No.
Oh. Yeah. Then what is the point?
Dude, but even then, smart glass, when I did that on my 360, I was so excited. I was like, man, this is the future right here.
Yeah.
Did not work how I wanted it to.
Oh, really?
I remember one of the dumbest uses I tried to use for was like, oh, Game of Thrones on HBO Go. You can use smart glass to do some stuff. And it did nothing. It just did nothing at all. Like, I thought it was going to be like, oh, hey, check out your phone because while the episode's going on, because I'm pretty sure I read this somewhere. I don't think I made it up. It was like, oh, while the episode's going on, you can basically look at your phone and see commentary.
Oh, really?
Something like that. Well, I mean, I must have made it up because it didn't work at all.
Picturing you just like staring at your phone while you're watching Game of Thrones. Like, so what?
But I remember doing that. I never got smart glass on any app in the console. I never got them to work together properly. I can certainly tell you that it didn't make anything easier because I could be like, oh, it works. Anyway, fwing, throw that the way.
With the Xbox One, we use our cell phones all the time as a controller. Because anymore, the Xbox One is just kind of like an entertainment system for us. Like, well, obviously an entertainment system. But I mean like media, like movies and Netflix and stuff. And it got to the point to where it was like, I can't keep forgetting to plug these chargers or these controllers in. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? There's got to be something on this app. And then when I used it, I was like, oh, my God, I don't even need controllers. But it works, but it's pretty slick.
You know, you make me want to go and look and see if this exists now. I'll have to do this later, but, you know.
Oh, you mean on the PlayStation app?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty sweet. I mean, if it had that, I would download the app.
Man, that would be nice for, watching movies and TV shows.
Yeah, it's the best on, like, Saturdays after a long Friday night or something.
Yeah.
You just, like, camp out on the couch.
Yeah, I hear that. Oh, well, let's see. So we got, last week I brought up the article I read about the Navy and video game development, how they're trying to work together to basically train soldiers more efficiently, more cheaply, but still as effectively. So they're trying to make their own games that capitalize on the benefits of gaming. Kind of like I told you off mic, that was more of a puff piece than anything. You know, an article sponsored by the Navy. It was a little light on details. It was mostly just like making you feel good about video games being used in a productive way. But the Air Force article about HTC Vive was much more of an article. And that was talking all about using the Vive to simulate, flying an aircraft. And that may seem obvious, but they used to use, you know, the cage. You've probably seen them.
Yeah.
They have the chair with all the stuff. And I'll go look up how much these things cost. But besides the time that you would save by using the machine, which I'll get into in a second, the amount of money that you're saving on hardware is hard to overstate. let me see. It was like the Vive costs a little less than $1,000. For what they're using it for, and the total when you get the seats and the extra equipment that goes with them specifically, they've got like a joystick that helps you feel like you're actually flying the plane, and a bunch of other stuff. The price was $15,000, I believe.
Oh boy!
Which ain't cheap, but let me tell you how much the
other. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, like, 15,000 isn't cheap, but at the same time, if you're talking the military, I just assume it's over $100,000. You know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. So let's see. So this refers to the old simulators as legacy simulators, mm-hmm. right? So you've got the roll cage and all that stuff, but you're still looking at, like, a small little TV. It's not exactly, it's not visually immersive.
Yeah.
So the rest of the stuff can be helpful, but you still know it's fake. You know, it's harder for your brain. It's harder to trick your brain into making a routine because it's not that good of a simulation.
Yeah.
So this says it's each Vive costs less than $1,000 with the seat, computer, software, display screens for instructors, the stick, the throttle, and other equipment. The whole setup is about $15,000. So the entire suite of 20 simulators that they used at this place in Texas that the person writing the article visited is $300,000. So not cheap. But this says the legacy simulators, on the other hand, would cost about $4.5 million. $4.5 million. That's insane.
Like, is that for a group or no?
That is for one station. That is one station that one person can use, and if other people want to use it, they have to stand in line. They have to wait.
Oh my god!
And like what? Like, yeah. That's crazy. So with the Vive, they've got the 20 in that room that they practice with, and then back off-site. Well, not quite off-site, but it said that every two students, and that seems pretty generous, every two students has a Vive to share that they can use after hours to practice however they want, on whatever they want. And this software comes with an artificial intelligence that can test, like, when it's too easy for you, like when you've clearly figured this out. So it's going to throw a wrench in the gears. It's going to be like, oh, hey, bogeys on your tail. Or, oh, here's a thunderstorm. Or one of your engines is out, you know.
And it's like military rocksmith.
Yeah. It's not quite the same, but it teaches you. It teaches you. It's like, it's not a real guitar, but you'll learn something. So it really is. It seems very useful and something practical that, they said is with a simulation like this, you know, if you need to practice barrel rolls or loops or any number of maneuvers, you don't have to worry about fueling up the plane and taking off and then doing your maneuvers and then coming back and landing the plane. That's a whole lot of time besides just the money mm-hmm. that it takes to service and fuel any aircraft. That's a lot of time you have to spend just so you can go practice loops, you know, like you just want to practice the one thing. You don't need all the fluff around it. So that really allows them to hone in on training specifically what people need. If they've already mastered this thing over here, well, don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, start doing this over here. And it also allows them, the instructors were raving about it because it allows them to get off the syllabus. They can teach how they want and how their students need rather than continually going over the same thing that this student they clearly already mastered before, or they came into it and they just had a propensity for this one skill. So they're good. They don't need to spend any more time on this. So spending more time on that is more or less wasted time, and that's wasted money. So with this, it's a better teaching tool. They can use it after hours or in pairs. They can, it's not a substitute for actually getting in a plane, but you know, it's like driving a car. You don't have to be in a car to understand what a road sign looks like. You know, it does you good to practice beforehand and read a book, you know, and then jump in your car and respond to those signs. You know, you don't have to do all the fluff around mm-hmm. it, you know.
Did the HTC Vive combo, was that including the roll cage thing, or is that only in the old?
That's only in the old ones. Okay, so now
I'm picturing 3D or 3D virtual reality glasses in a roll
plus
cage.
Plus the roll cage,
and just like, man, I want to do that,
dude. That would be fun. But the Vive, well, VR in general used to have big trouble with motion sickness.
Yeah,
and some of them still
puking.
Do. Oh my gosh, that just sounds like nausea right there. But
it's like
that
Sandlot.
Would be, yeah, that would be cool, dude. I mean, I could even imagine. You know, they have those. Like fake skydiving. Well, I don't know if I want to call it fake, but I mean, you're definitely not in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
You know, indoor skydiving uh-huh. where
those things that are like $400 for 2.5 minutes.
Probably. Dude, skydiving, like real skydiving, costs that same amount, and, and man, it's worth it.
I've never done it. I have a friend that did it. I don't know. Man, I just don't know. I don't know if I'd do it. Like,
it's pretty cool.
I bet that it is. I just feel like I'd, by the time I got to the ground, my pants would be soiled, I feel like.
Dude, no, the worst part's going up. The worst part. Mm. My mom had a tradition when each of us turned 24, she took us out skydiving. My mom's pretty cool. And so she had already done it once with my older sister. And so by the time it came around to me, she was ready to go. You know, and I was ready to go. And we actually went out there one day, and the sky, you know, it wasn't the right weather. Like, there was nothing we could do about it. It just, it wasn't going to happen. So we're like, oh, man. So we had to drive way back home and reschedule another day. We finally get out there, you know, another time, and it couldn't have been more perfect weather. Just big, puffy, white clouds. And, you know, so you have to do your training all over again, which takes a while. But you end up going up there, and the climb just takes forever. You just want to go. You just want it to be over with. Like, it's good and bad all at once. It's a bunch of anxiety. Mm-hmm. But once, you know, you come down a lot quicker than you go up. And so once you're in it, it's crazy. It's so loud because you're,
yeah,
you know. But then when your instructor is, you go tandem for the first X amount of times when you are a newbie, when he pulls that parachute, it's about the quietest thing you've ever heard. Just all sound stops, and you can just see everywhere. Huh, everything's totally
quiet. That's really
cool. It's very cool. As soon as we hit the ground, I was like, so can we do this again?
Yeah.
Like, can we go right now? You know? But yeah, definitely the anxiety of going up there was easily the hardest part.
I remember, so one thing I've always thought about with skydiving is, I remember when I was a kid, not a kid, like a preteen probably, we were like at somebody's boat in some lake, and I was jumping off of like a ridge. It was probably like 60 feet high, so it was pretty high.
That's pretty high, dude.
And I remember when I jumped from it, because I was trying to show off to girls. That's
right.
That was the only reason. I was terrified. And I remember jumping off and falling for so long that I remember there was nothing that I could do to keep myself from just screaming.
Like, right.
I'm just screaming.
It feels wrong not to scream.
Do you remember that? Did you have a feeling like that?
Oh, yeah.
Was it
for
like,
sure, where it's just like, this is normal. This isn't a normal human thing. Like, yeah. I was not bred. I wasn't born to do this, you know. I was like, something's not right.
Yeah.
Even you get that sensation when you're driving down a road too quick and you hit a bump and you're, oh, you know, yeah. My tummy. Yeah. And man, I mean, the sensation of just like falling out the window. Oh, my gosh. Well, talking about it now, it kind of freaks me out a little bit, but I'd absolutely do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, actually, you know what? I've never been afraid of flying or of planes or anything like that. But every time that I take off in a plane, I can't, well, I do it anyway, but I shouldn't look out the window, because when I see all that acceleration and I feel all that acceleration, the only thought going through my mind is like, humans were not made to do this. Like, this is not right. This shouldn't be happening. This is unnatural. We're going to explode. Like, we're not even going to make it off the ground. We're going to hit a pebble on the runway, and that's going to be it. And of course, that never happens. But that's all I can ever think of in that space. But, you know, this is why, like, VR is so valuable. Well, it's very fun. But it's valuable in this way, too, because you can simulate all these things without having to just jump into the frying pan, you know, or out of the frying pan into the fire. You know, this, the VR training, it's like, I think 1 year is how long it takes to usually train one of these soldiers, or one of these aviators. And they said that out of 20 people, 13 of them graduated after 4 months, which is, wow. Like, that's a lot of time saved.
Yeah.
So it's not that they replace all that other important training, but they can expedite it. They can efficiently teach the skills, and they can show that they've actually trained the skills. They didn't just send them through where everybody half learned it real fast. So I think that stuff's cool. They picked the Vive because it was the highest fidelity screen. And, you know, the stuff's only getting better. And I'm just so excited. VR gaming is cool. It's awesome. But I cannot wait for more and more practical uses of this VR tech, because it's just, it makes so many things accessible for people. You know, paying $15,000 for a whole setup is way cheaper than, well, the $44.5 million of the old simulator. But it's also just much, much cheaper than spending all that time sending somebody up on a plane, you know, when maybe 60% of that time that they're going up there is them just doing plane stuff, not even practicing the thing that they need to practice.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. Like, I love reading stories about people. There's a favorite NPR podcast of mine that talked about Google Cardboard when it first came out, where a guy figured out, he made a 3D model of an infant's heart. And I'm talking, it was like, I think it was like a week's old infant. I mean, it was so small. Mm-hmm. You didn't even know what to do because its body's not developed yet. You can't see inside of it and you can't do anything. I mean, any move you make is going to be so dangerous, but to not do anything would have killed this child because I think it had something going on in its heart, you know, and it's weeks old. And so this heart surgeon used Google Cardboard and made a three-dimensional heart of its actual heart, not just a heart, but, you know, took x-rays or whatever it was to build this heart, did the surgery, and then went and did the actual surgery on the baby after having practiced in Google Cardboard.
Oh, man.
And it worked. It saved the kid's life.
That is crazy.
It is crazy. And that was years ago at this point. That was probably, that was at least three or four years ago at this point, at least. And, well, I think I should, I've always told you I'm bad with dates. but that stuff's so fascinating to me. And I just cannot wait till this stuff becomes more and more accessible.
Yeah.
I can't wait to just build my house in Minecraft and then actually walk through it.
Yeah. That'd be a shitty house, though.
You know what? Maybe yours would be a shitty house. All right? I really would like to do that, though.
Why is your roof just blocks?
Dude. This style, whole wall, man, cannot be glass. This is structurally unsound. Yeah, but it looks really cool when it rains, though.
Why do you have a lava pool in your front foyer?
What else was I supposed to put there?
Are you with the Force?
Is the Force with you?
Well, the Force is with us over at the Echo Station Podcast, a new Star Wars series from the Heroes Podcast Network.
Join us in a galaxy not so far away every other Monday as we discuss everything Star Wars from the original films through the whole EU.
So pour yourself some blue milk and get cozy in that tauntaun with the Echo Station Podcast. Find out more at heroespodcast.com.
We are back. We're going to go into the lightning round real quick before we get into the question. We'll wrap it up here a little more on time than usual tonight. Couple lightning round things. I actually got three of them here. I got two for League of Legends. So Worlds, which is the world championship of League of Legends. It is in full swing. Pretty much October is the month of Worlds. The championship is on November, I want to say, 3rd? But it comes to a head right on that weekend, the first weekend of November. But there are a whole bunch of upsets going on. There was a Korean team that didn't make it out of the group's play, which is the first time that's happened since 2012, which I thought was interesting. There's a bunch of stuff going on. I've talked about it before that I like watching the stuff, but I generally don't actually follow a team. I've never followed any professional sports team ever. I like watching the Chiefs, but I do not care about stats. Mm-hmm. I like watching a good game. I like rooting for somebody, but as far as like a big name goes, I don't really have a dog in any fight. So there are a bunch of, you know, C9's doing very well for themselves. I want to say that Team Solo Mid isn't even in Worlds right now, which I think is the first time that's happened in a while. But there's a whole bunch of news, and I read about it, but then I forget exactly what I've read because I just trip over all of the team names and especially the player names because besides all of them not being even close to English,
yeah.
every name is, instead of Thomas Egan, it's Thomas Tegan Nut Sarah 1 Egan. So trying to read all, like, name after name after name is just, it's brutal.
Yep.
I lose track of anybody. Like, I can't remember anybody's usernames or their real names, and it becomes very hard for me to follow. And I think, personally, that's going to be a big obstacle for esports to overcome over the next decade, because I just, no matter how often I see that, it doesn't get any easier to read that stuff. And I think that's definitely a barrier to accessibility for a lot of people. Because do you call them, as a casual, you know, viewer, do I call them by their username or their real name? Because to me, it still feels weird to call people by their usernames, especially when they've got really dumb ones or, like, really meme-y ones. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like this doesn't even sound like a nickname. It just sounds like a meme.
Yeah.
And it feels weird to call a professional player yeah. this name. So I really, you know, that stuff is strange to me. But the long and the short of it is there's a lot of stuff going on in Worlds. Go check it out. If you're like me and you're a very casual fan, there are games going on all month, all the time. And you can watch reruns and all this stuff. Because probably if you're in the States, you're going to miss a lot of them. Because as far as when I check the schedule, a lot of them are at like 2, 3, 4, 5 a.m. Because it's all going on over in Europe. But that's just interesting. I hope to catch up a little more as like quarterfinals and semifinals come up so I can actually watch and maybe root for somebody. You figure out who the underdog is and root for them. But also League of Legends news is E-League, which is the TV show network TBS's esports Friday night, I want to say publisher, that's not the right word, but they show esports of all kinds. They've been doing it since 2016. They started with Counter-Strike. They've done Street Fighter. They've done Overwatch.
Wait, who does this? TBS?
Yeah, TBS. So oh. Friday nights. I'd heard of this, but I had to go look it up to figure out how long
no E-League idea had been they around. Did that.
Yeah, so it's a Friday night thing. I don't know how often it goes on year-round because some of the stuff they cover is their league and some of the stuff they cover, as far as I can tell, are other people's leagues, which I think is smart. But they are putting on this Friday, so 2 days after this episode goes up, on the 19th, they are showing this one-hour special that are two casters sponsored by Fnatic, which is a big esports team for anybody who doesn't know. And they're going to show highlight, like they're going to tell stories and celebrate the community and the history of League of Legends, which like, maybe that's not so good because like there's a history of toxicity there. But they're going to celebrate the history and the culture, it said in that article. And they're going to show off some of their favorite parts of the game while also giving insider info on, you know, how to play and significance of this, that, and the other. The idea is it's supposed to bring new people into the fold who don't know what they're looking at. So it's not as much to teach you how to play, but it is to teach you how to understand what's going on, which to some extent means you need to learn how to play. You know, I don't need to actually play football, but I need to understand what's happening when I'm watching it. So that's the idea of this. So you're going to have two charismatic casters on there, showing the ins and outs of the fundamentals of League of Legends. Hmm. So I'm interested to see what that is. I hope I can find that online without having TV, because I don't have TV. I don't have TBS, so we'll see how that goes. But I just think that's interesting. I think that's a smart move, because for casual players, for people who don't play or haven't watched any esports before, especially League of Legends or a MOBA, those things can be hard to watch. They are not visually pleasing, in my opinion. It's hard to jump into.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I hope this goes well. I hope they learn something from this and find a better way or a good way to bring new people into the fold that doesn't make them uncomfortable, because it's just daunting trying to watch something like that. It doesn't look like anything else. Unless it's another MOBA, it doesn't look like any other video game you've played. So when you've got all these crazy things going on screen and you don't understand a single one, and you've got the casters just losing their minds over some huge play that apparently just happened, but you can't understand what, you know, even in slow motion, you're left in the dust. I'm excited that they're going to hold people's hands and teach them what's up. Because certainly, I mean, I could even use that. There's so many champions in that game that I don't recognize. And there have been changes for years. You know, there are always patches and updates. So I'm interested to see how they approach this. I hope it does well. And I think other, you know, esports leagues and organizations could learn from this. I hope they do something similar, because teaching people the fundamentals is the first way to incorporate new players and new, you know, grow your audience, which I think they could all. I think we need new blood, to be honest, in esports. But I thought that stuff was interesting. The last little thing I want to hit is. At Rockstar, this is kind of going back, you know, we had Telltale stuff. This is a little blip because there's not that much information, but if everybody at Rockstar, it sounds like, is working 100-hour weeks.
What?
Because of Crunch. And, man, I don't know. It makes me nervous. I'm not necessarily mad about it because I don't... Well, I don't want to go super into this, but, like, during GTA 5, there was a big hoopla online of... There's, like, the spouse letter, I think it was called, where the spouses of a bunch of employees anonymously... They wrote an open letter. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Wrote an open letter to the company saying, like, yo, these hours are insane. This is unsustainable. Like, you're having everybody work to the bone and they can't, you know, be with their family mm-hmm. and do all this stuff. And, like, crunch definitely exists in technology, but, like, that was too much. And so, you know, the Red Dead was supposed to come out last year about this time. And so it got pushed back a whole year, which is totally fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll still wait and I'll still play it. But, you know, crunch sucks because in a time like this, I don't know how much you can do about it because that's just the nature of the business. So I don't know if I'm that angry about it. I mean, people are up in arms, but
I don't know. I think
if as long as they're getting compensated, as long as like workers feel like they're not just, you know, burning themselves out. Because 100-hour weeks.
I was going to say,
boy, that
you can say that, like, everything that you're saying, I think is reasonable. If we're talking like 60, maybe 80-hour weeks.
Yeah,
like I would cap it at 60. Like if you're working 20 hours over your normal 40-hour week, that's a crazy amount of time.
Yeah,
like everybody has to go through it every once in a while, but 100 hours. That's like, how much are they sleeping?
Yeah. I think, was this for this
like,
one?
I don't think that there's a single person there that's like, no, yeah, I can do this. I mean, as long as they're paying me, I'll work 100 hours a week. You know? Like.
Well, I mean, I know some people like that. During GTA 5, the open letter was talking about how they were working 6 days a week, including Saturdays, for 12 hours a day. It's a lot. That's 72 hours. It's a lot of hours.
Can you imagine what that Sunday's like? You're just sleeping all day long.
But you can't because you have spent so much time working. Now you have to do everything else that's going on in your life.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's like, God, I haven't done the laundry in 4 days.
Dude.
Well, I guess 4 days isn't that crazy.
No, it's not.
But I wear a lot of clothes.
Dude, I do wear a lot of clothes. I work construction, so I tend, like... there's some rewearability with my clothes where it doesn't matter. I can wear the same pair of jeans a bunch because they're going to be dirty no matter what. So there's no reason to wash them as long as I'm, you know, as long as I can walk inside a building without bringing a dust cloud with me.
Yeah.
But that also means every time I go home, I have a set of clothes that I wear for, you know, however long that evening is.
Yeah.
And maybe I go out and maybe then that, like, the clothing I wore for 6 hours was dirty. And, you know, so I'm going through double sets of clothes all day. Mm-hmm. And so my laundry just piles up. So maybe 4 days, you know, I probably should be doing it 4 days a week. But anyway, enough about laundry. Let's talk about 100-hour days. No, we can see how that turns out. 100 hours is a crazy amount.
It is an insane amount.
Yeah. But Rockstar, you know, put out a PR release and said... you know, hey, we're happy about the culture of our company.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're happy about Rockstar.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, we're pretty sure everybody's happy here.
Yeah. You're all happy, right?
Yeah. You just hear, like, chains rattling.
Yeah. Yes, it's we're great. Happy. Get back to work.
Hold tight. So, you know, that stuff, whenever I hear a real... corporate response like the one they give, I always roll my eyes. I'm just like, yeah, okay, you know, dude, just any corporate response from any company, every time I hear it, I'm just like, so you know, you just sound so cult right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, why even make a statement?
Yep. They may as well just like open up a piece of paper and then say like, I'm staring you right in the eyes and lying to you. Goodbye. Right.
Alexa, read this note for me. Okay. So we'll see how that goes, but yeah, 100-hour work days, those don't sound very fun.
Nope.
So we'll see what happens there. Anyway, that's your lightning round, kind of, sort of. You know, lightning strikes quickly, but my lightning rounds do not.
It's a slow burn.
It is. So that stuff's all fun. Well, let's look at let's talk about our question from last week. We asked you guys, what is something useful you have learned from a video game you've been able to use in real life? I talked about economics. I learned from World of Warcraft, Neopets, and RuneScape. Spent a lot of time in that auction house. And somebody else, Jesse, in our Looking for Geeks group, he had said the same thing. He said he probably spent more time in the auction house on WoW than he did grinding or questing. Which, man, I can just about relate to that. I loved playing that market.
I like that. I'm trying to find this link. What was the one about it being quiet? Read that one. I liked that one.
Let's see. If it's too quiet, something is wrong. Boss fight ahead.
Yeah.
Dude, for real.
Yep. That's like just walking out to your car at night.
Yeah.
And there's no noise.
Dude.
Completely silent. Darkness.
If you're ever out in the woods and you don't hear anything, that means there's a predator nearby. Yep. You've got to get out. If you're like birds, or well, I guess birds aren't out at night, but if you hear like crickets and night sounds, you're good. But as soon as those sounds go away, oh, mister, get out.
Just start screaming
and
running.
There's a werewolf in there. let's see. So that was Andrew who said this, or said that. Zach says, always engage everyone fully to unlock new conversation. Always explore, explore, explore. I can handle that. I like exploring. I just always forget to bring my map with me so it never fills in, you know? one thing, you know, I guess this isn't actually good advice, but, you know, figure out the path you're supposed to take and then take the other one because there's probably extra loot over there.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes you can't backtrack, so.
I never leave a door closed in a house. I check every corner.
Every single one.
Why are you under my mom's bed?
Joe, who used to be a part of GGKC, Joe says downed opponents deserve teabags. Damn it, Joe.
Yep. My favorite spray in Overwatch is the tea time spray.
Yeah. With Ana.
Yeah.
Let's see. And so, so that's, we had a couple elsewhere, but I don't have them right in front of me right now. So sorry, everybody. But if you guys ever want to respond to our question, you know, we'll read our handles and everything at the end of the show, but hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, all that good stuff. We've got a Discord website, blah, 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 blah. But we'd love to hear from you. And I promise before this is over, I'll double check that I didn't miss anybody. So I'm not telling you to just respond and then I won't mention it on the show. But so that's exciting. We're talking over the break about what we want our question to be. Well, we're kind of excited about that VR stuff. So we're wondering, you know, for next week, tell us what you wish that you could learn in VR that, you know, you could learn in real life. But, like, I would love to go scuba diving, but I'm kind of spooked by really deep water, especially, like, dark, murky water. So I would love – that already exists. Like, scuba diving in VR does exist, and that's almost how I'd rather experience that. At least right now. I'll go skydiving, but the ocean, man, that's where I draw the line.
I would love to learn how to make VR headsets.
Headception.
Yeah.
You know, have you played, what is it, Job Simulator?
Oh, no, but it sounds terrible.
Oh, no, it's hilarious. It's great. So the premise of the game, this is actually one of the very first modern VR games. It is, you imagine you're in a future run by robots, and they've read what jobs used to be like. Like, jobs don't exist anymore, so they only understand from, like, history books what human jobs used to be. So they simulate what a job used to be. So the game starts and you have all these cartridges. It's like, do you want to be a mechanic? And it's like an N64 cartridge that you put into a slot. Or it's like, do you want to work in the office? Or do you want to do this other thing? And it's just jokes and jokes and jokes. It's got such a great sense of humor. But you get into this office and you've got like a copy machine next to you and like a coffee machine and your computer and stuff. And so the thing I always like to do is just play with the copy machine, because anything that you can reach out and grab, you can put it into the copier, but it will make a full 3D copy of it. So that's super fun. So you can, like, you know, there are paper airplanes that you can fly that actually feel pretty good to throw. So you can just copy those. And
uh-huh.
But you absolutely should play that. So that one's fun because, in theory, you could learn how to do a job, you know, a cubicle job. But the fact that it's all just so satirical.
You can learn how to slack off at work.
It is. Yeah, I would love to go play some more of that game because, really, it's just chock full of jokes after jokes.
That sounds like I'm just going to sit at a desk and surf Reddit with a VR headset on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they do have apps to watch Netflix in a fake movie theater where your friends will appear next to you, so it's like you're watching the movie. So you'd have your friend next to you, but the screen would just look really far away as if you're in a theater. So basically it's like, imagine watching your TV on a TV. So, yeah.
It's the future.
I love the meme that shows, it's like, when I was a kid, my parents told me not to sit too close to the TV, you know, and then it's just like, look at me now. And it's just some guy just like, whoa, bro.
You'll hurt your eyes. Turn the lights on.
You know, they said we wouldn't have calculators in our pockets too, but look at us now.
Stupid people walking up both ways of the hill.
So, so tell us what you guys think. Tell us what jokes or serious things that you would like to do in VR that you can. That could be anything from, seeing your tabletop, maybe your world in D&D. If you made it all with, like, paintbrush or 3D modeling, maybe you'd like to walk around that. Or maybe you would like to drive an actual big rig. You can do that in plenty of typical, like, console and PC games. I don't think I know of one that you can actually do in proper VR. It probably exists.
Not in proper VR. I do remember the Super Nintendo Penn and Teller game.
Yeah, Ride Desert to Vegas. Bus.
Yeah. Desert Bus. Yeah.
You just go forever.
I've watched maybe, I want to say, 15 full minutes of the YouTube video. Just like staring at it,
it's
waiting.
So gradual. If you guys don't know what Desert Bus is, just go look it up. Yeah. You're going to have some laughs.
Your mind will be blown. It is the most in-depth. It's the largest game I've ever seen. They broke the mold. Like, it's, I don't even understand how they did it on Super Nintendo. Was it Super Nintendo? Super Nintendo, right?
Actually, I don't know. I know it was old-timey. It might have been NES.
It may have been NES. Regardless, it was amazing.
Yeah. So tell us what you wish you could try it on VR. Jokes and serious answers welcome. So, you know, throw the whole kitchen sink at us. Gamer Heroes Podcast is part of the Heroes Podcast Network and hosted by GGKC. You can find our episodes at heroespodcasts.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and all the other podcasts. Catchers that you can think of. Follow us online at Gamer Heroes Pod and at GG_Kansas_City on Twitter, or at Heroes Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitch. You can also find us on the GGKC Facebook page and our website, gg-kc.com. You can also find Discord and all that other good stuff, but check us out. And to all the gamers out there, play nice, play well, and play again. See you next week.
Later.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.